This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Coal mine operator and Greenbrier Resort owner Jim Justice will be the next governor of West Virginia. He celebrated his win last night at the hotel in White Sulphur Springs. As Ashton Mara reports, Justice says he'll focus on growing the state's economy when he takes office in January and promises he can get the state on the right track within his first 10 months in office.
You know, there's things that I wish we could have done. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. That's the wrong speech. No, we won.
A lighthearted moment from Democrat Jim Justice as he took the stage at the Greenbrier Resort in White Sulphur Springs Tuesday night. More than 400 supporters gathered in the hotel's main ballroom to hear Justice's victory speech after winning the governor's race by nearly 50,000 votes.
Today is the first day of real healing for West Virginia. You know, I am an absolute believer that we don't have to divide business and labor. We don't have to be at odds with one another, whether you be rich, poor, black, white, whatever it may be. We don't need to be at odds with one another, whether you be Republican, Democrat, Independent. We've got too many people on the outside throwing rocks at us, and we've got to bond together and be great West Virginians.
Just as he had on the campaign trail, Justice shared a message of hope with his supporters. He promised to work tirelessly to make sure West Virginia is no longer 50th. As the price of metallurgical coal rebounds around the world, coal mined in West Virginia that's used to make steel, Justice says increased severance tax collections in the near future will help the state through its current economic hardships. But we can't solely count on coal, Justice says.
We've proven how to be dead last, even when coal was at its very best. We've got to have much more than coal in this state. We have to have tourism and agriculture and medicine and education and timber and bring furniture manufacturing. And we've got to attract the crackers to where we'll have real manufacturing jobs and value added to our state. There's so many things that we have got right at our fingertips, and I've got a lot of experience in a lot of different areas, and we'll get it done.
His top priorities when he takes office in January, growing the state's economy to make up for the current budget deficit and curbing the substance abuse epidemic. Earlier in the evening, Republican Senate President Bill Cole conceded the race at his election night party in Charleston. Joined by his family, Cole told his supporters he was proud of the money his campaign was able to raise to keep up with the billionaire Democrat and of the things he was able to accomplish in 2 years as Senate president.
Even though we came up a little bit short tonight, the issues we fought for should not, will not, cannot be given up on or forgotten.
Cole ushered in some controversial legislation under his leadership, including a right-to-work law and repealing the state's prevailing wage. The Republican was criticized on the campaign trail for those policies, but ultimately, Cole's party was able to maintain its majority in the House and even pick up a seat in the state Senate. That means more conservative policies are likely in the future for West Virginia, despite Justice's win. Still, the Democrat is confident he can work with the Republican-led legislature. During his victory speech, he told supporters he hopes even former Senator Cole will work with him.
If I can surround myself with the smartest and the brightest people, and they can help me with the pieces of the puzzle, and they can put them on the table, I'm the best there is at figuring out how to put them together and making it work.
Justice will take office in January. He says it's too soon to say who will lead his transition team during the next few months. Justice replaces current Democratic Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, who has reached his two-term limit. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in White Sulphur Springs.
After a long, contentious, and expensive campaign for re-election, Patrick Morrissey will see another term as state attorney general. Ann Lee has the story.
When state Republican Chairman Conrad Lucas took the stage at the official Republican watch party in Charleston to introduce Patrick Morrissey, he made a little jab at Morrissey's opponent, Doug Reynolds.
Talk about, and somebody just wasted a lot of money. So
Morrissey's battle with Reynolds was filled with negative advertising and millions of dollars in campaign contributions, the majority of which came from Reynolds. On the other hand, the Democratic candidate accused Morrissey of sending a person to follow him and harass him on his campaign trail. But in his speech, Morrissey focused on the promises he said he made and kept after he was elected in 2012.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've kept my promise. I also said that I was going to go after the corruption under the Golden Dome and end the Friends and Family Plan within the Office of Attorney General. I kept that promise.
Still, at points during the night, the race was pretty close. After he gave his victory speech, Morrissey said that during those moments, his campaign stayed focused.
We kept to the plan, and we were very aggressive, trying to make sure people knew about our record. And I think the contrast people responded to.
Morrissey says his proudest accomplishments during his first term as Attorney General include fighting the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean Power Plan, followed by his fight against substance abuse in the state. In his speech, he said that the latter fight would continue.
We're making real progress, but we have a lot of additional work to do. Right now, we have over 600 people dying every year to this terrible epidemic. These are senseless deaths. We need to do more.
At the end of his speech, Morrissey said that West Virginians were tired of the partisanship among state politicians. He pledged to bring that to an end. And on that note, he ended his speech with an invitation to the GOP to join him in thanking Reynolds for his campaign. Likewise, Reynolds thanked his staff and voters for their support during his concession speech, saying that the Republicans had a big night across the board. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ann Lee in Charleston.
More election news coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:51. Mostly cloudy skies today with scattered rain, temperatures in the 50s. Partly cloudy overnight with a slight chance of rain in the east. Lows in the 30s, mostly sunny on Thursday and Friday with highs in the 50s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by WVU Medicine, Children's Clinics and Hospital, serving the healthcare needs of all West Virginia's children, online at wvukids.com.
Heading into Tuesday night, state Republican Party leaders were confident they could maintain their majorities in both the state House of Delegates and Senate. As Liz McCormick reports, their predictions were correct, but in the Senate, the party's numbers slightly boosted.
The number of Democrats and Republicans in both legislative chambers remains roughly the same as it was when the GOP took control of both chambers during the 2014 midterm elections. Republicans will hold 19 seats in the Senate with 15 Democrats, picking up one additional seat. And in the House, Democrats picked up one seat, but Republicans hold a large majority at 63-37. Perhaps the biggest upset for Democrats in the Senate is Republican Ryan Weld's win over incumbent Democrat Jack Yost, who's held his seat since 2008. Both are from Brooke County. One of the most heated races in the Senate was likely between incumbent Republican Chris Walters and Democrat Glenn Jeffries. Jeffries won Walters' seat by a couple thousand votes. Another woman has been elected to the state Senate. Republican Patricia Rucker from the Eastern Panhandle joins Republican Senators Donna Boley and Sue Klein. Klein was appointed to her seat in January but won her election Tuesday night. Two major Democratic names in the House of Delegates lost their races this year, Nancy Guthrie of Kanawha County and Democrat Tim Manchin of Marion County. Both Guthrie and Manchin have held their seats in the House for at least 10 years. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick.
Other notable GOP wins included races for Secretary of State, Agriculture Commissioner, Auditor, and all three U.S. House seats. It wasn't a clean Republican sweep. Democrats maintained control of the governor's mansion and won the race for treasurer. But incumbents did fall. Republican Mack Warner of Morgantown ousted two-term Secretary of State Natalie Tennant Tuesday night. J.B. McCuskey became the first Republican elected as West Virginia's auditor since 1928. He denied auditor's office employee Marianne Clater's bid to be the first Black elected to a statewide office in West Virginia. State Senator Kent Leonhardt became the first Republican in 28 years to win election as West Virginia's Agriculture Commissioner, defeating incumbent Democratic Walt Helmick in a rematch of the 2012 race. Helmick was the last remaining Democratic elected Commissioner of Agriculture in the country. Only 12 states actually elect them. Democrat John Perdue, West Virginia's longest-serving state treasurer, won a sixth term by defeating Republican Charleston Bank executive Ann Erling. A Republican hasn't been elected state treasurer since 1928. Joining us now from West Virginia Wesleyan College in Buchanan, our political analyst, Dr. Rob Rupp. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Let me just get this kind of blanket question out. As you woke up this morning, what are you thinking about either by state or national race?
Well, I'm glad I'm a political historian, not a political predictor, because we have a lot to explain. This was certainly an historic election. On the national level, we have to go back a generation to 1980 when Reagan swept in. But Reagan was a governor and had an agenda. Trump is an outsider, and we don't know where he stands, but whatever it was, there was a wave that went across America, and it fooled virtually everyone who should have known better.
What will you tell? Do you have classes today?
Yes.
And what classes are they, and what will you talk about?
Well, one is they had to do predictions of states, and they did basically what most of the pollsters did. They didn't call it right, so we have to ask why, what's going on. And in a sense, why are all the polls so wrong? You know, Beth, if you look at real clear politics, you almost see all blue. Clinton was leading in virtually all the races in all the polls, but she was only leading by about 3 to 4%. And everyone looked at the blue rather than looked at how close the numbers were and if the polls were off. As far as my students go, too, there was not that much enthusiasm. There's a great deal of interest in the election, but there wasn't enthusiasm for either of the candidates, which should have tipped us off in terms of Clinton's unexpectedly poor showing.
You know, in 2014, there were those who said, mostly Democrats, who said, well, this Republican takeover of the state legislature, it's just a blip. It's just a blip. It's no blip. We've got statewide office holders now who are Republican, except for the governor and except for the state treasurer. This was a sweep. That was no blip.
No, and it was part of a transition that started in 2000 with the election of Shelley Moore Capito to Congress. Remember, Beth, I talked about the trifecta. It's control the congressional delegation, control the legislature, and control the governor. Now, right now, you know, the Republicans have dominance in the congressional delegation. They control both houses and kept it despite the so-called pushback. The only office is that the Democrats continue to hold on to governor. Now, this is amazing because we have to go 86 in 86 years, Beth. We've only had two Republican governors, and that tradition continues. But look who was the Democratic nominee, a total outsider who used to be Republican and would publicly not support Hillary Clinton. So the Democrats again found a way to keep hold of the governor's mansion, but they did so by reaching way outside.
Dr. Robert Rupp, history professor and political science professor at West Virginia Wesleyan College, so appreciate you talking with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.